John chapter 2, verse 1. John chapter 2, verse 1. Do you know that there is an appointed time? The Bible speaks about seasons. Season for laughter, a season for crying. There are seasons that we go through in our life. There are different seasons that we go through in our life. And the good thing about that is if you're going through a bad season, there's a good one coming. John chapter 1, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And the title of my message is, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Amen. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Amen. If you could bow your heads with me, Lord, we just thank you, oh God, for the service thus far. Lord, we ask for your anointing. Oh Father, we ask that the words that will come forth be from you, Lord, that they will accomplish a touch, a blessing, a breakthrough for revival in our hearts and our souls. We lift up your name and we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to someone and said, whatsoever he doeth, say it. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Amen. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture of the feast and the miracle of turning the water into wine. We've all heard this story many times before. But there's some unusual little things, and I'm not going to make this a Bible study today. I'm just going to preach a short word. Our theme this month has been commitment. And when you're committed to something, that prompts some action. And what I think the Lord is saying, it's time for us to do it. To not just say it, but do it. Not just repeat words, but live it. Not just go through some fake motions, but be it. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Amen. You know, as I've said so many times before, this was a much greater miracle than many people understand, because the Bible tells us that this was his first miracle. He had not done anything special before then. And so it wasn't for miracles that he had disciples. It wasn't for miracles that they had been following him. It was simply because of his word. It was simply because something he said registered to them. It was simply because something that he pronounced built faith in their hearts. They came to the wedding. We don't know the circumstances. Maybe they weren't a rich couple. It was in Galilee. Galilee was not the rich and famous part of Judea of that province. And they ran out of wine. You know, it's one of those things when you're planning a wedding, you want to make sure you don't run out of anything. You want to make sure you have enough for all the guests. You count up the number of people coming, and you usually try and go overboard to make sure you have enough food, because you don't want to be embarrassed that you don't have enough. But it turns out that they ran out of the wine. And we see something interesting. Jesus knew that they had run out of the wine. Do you notice he wasn't going to do nothing? Sometimes we want God to act, but we don't want to even ask him for something. See, we just want him to do it without us humbling ourselves and coming on our knees and coming to church and say, Lord, I need some help. But you see, even though Jesus knew that they had run out of wine, he was waiting to be asked. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Amen. We sometimes in our pride don't want to ask God the right way. We want God to just do it without us asking. But there was a process to getting blessing from God. There is a sequence to getting blessing from God. You have to humble yourself. You have to come before him. You know, she had to humble herself and go to her son to ask, I want you to fix this situation. And he knew before she asked what he was going to do. He said, mine hour is not yet come. She just didn't listen. She just turned to the servants and said, whatsoever he saith, do it. You see, there's a lesson in that, that God is saying that if we want the wine, if we want the blessings, there's things that we have to do. We can't be fake. We have to actually not just say it, not just pretend to do it, but we have to do it. It's not just coming to church. It's not just opening your mouth. It's not just raising your hand. But you have to have an action that comes with your life. There has to be some actions that fit with what you're saying. You know, it's crazy people who say one thing, do another thing. Mary said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. There's got to be certain principles to getting God's blessing. He says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, I'm going to bless. But it's only those that do the will of my Father. It's time for us to stop saying stuff and be committed and start doing stuff. Amen. There's a principle, and I'm going to be real short today. There's a principle in getting blessing. You can look through the whole scripture. When you ask God to do something, you know what he's going to do? He's going to ask you to do something. You all asking God for something? What are you doing? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now, he could have just made the wine appear in the mugs, but he didn't do that. He said, there's something I want you servants to do. Go and pick up these big, big vases. They were big 30-gallon vases, and you go fill them with water. But Lord, couldn't you just make it happen? Yes, he could. But whatsoever he asketh you to do, do it. What are you doing? We want the blessing. We want the water into wine, but we don't want to do nothing. We don't even want to lift up our hands and worship sometimes. We don't want to clap our hands. You see, they would never have had the blessing unless they obeyed the command. There is a principle involved. You look in the Old Testament, you look in the New Testament, before God does a blessing, there is something for you to do. He said, I'll bless the work of your hands. He didn't say, I'll bless you sitting down and folding your hands. He said, I'll bless the work of your hands. You have to do something for God to multiply it. You got to get up and work for God for him to bless. Now, that's not to work for salvation, but it's being obedient to the work of God. Amen. See, as I said, this miracle took a lot more faith because he had not done any miracles beforehand. They just had to obey. The servants must have been saying, but this is crazy. Didn't they want wine? Why are we filling these things with water? And look at how much water we're filling it for. This makes no sense. Sometimes God will put you in a position and in a situation that makes no sense. But whatsoever he saith, do it. Why am I coming to that old broken down church? Whatsoever he saith, do it. You see, God never said there'd be a famine for churches. There's a million churches, but God said there would be a famine for the word of God. See, it's not everywhere you're going to hear the truth. In love, there's a combination there. Some places you can hear the truth, but it's not in love. It's not the good news message. It's the hell and damnation message. Amen. See, the disciples were also following him, and they had not seen a miracle. They had learned that there must be something about this man. There's something about his words. There's something that if we stick close to him, we're going to find out a blessing. There's going to be something that's going to show up that leads us to a blessing. I'm telling you today that if you want the blessing, God is asking you, go fill the water pots. Go down to the well. Take those big vases. You start filling up. You want the wine? You want the blessing? Mary has given you the answer. Whatsoever he saith, do it. God, but God, are you talking to me? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's talking to each and every one of us today. We want the wine. We want to have the marriage supper. We want the festivities. But will we be willing to listen to the word of God? You know, going back to Luke chapter 2, verse 34, many years before that, when the angel had come and given the message of a Savior to Mary, it was a bittersweet message. It says, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Now, here's the part that we don't like. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts and of many hearts may be revealed. When you decide to start doing it for God, your soul is going to be pierced. You're going to have some separation from some people. There's some people going to want to stop you. There's going to be a sword. There's going to be a division. Because the Bible says two cannot walk together unless they agree. It's time to separate. It's time to get sanctified. It's time to do whatsoever he saith. This month has been about commitment. I'm hoping that we are a little bit more committed than at the beginning of June. It's time to get to the next level, because we're coming up in this world to perilous times. If you don't understand what's going on in the world situation, don't worry about it. You should understand what the Bible says. Perilous times shall come. Men's hearts will be failing them for fear. You know, on Monday, they had the vote in England. The next day, they lost $2 trillion off of all the world's stock market. $2 trillion. That's more than the total wealth of Canada in one day. The Bible says there's a time coming on this planet such as never was. You need to begin to listen to what the Spirit is saying. God is saying, I got something for you to do. You want a blessing? You want salvation? You want deliverance? I got something for you to do. You better pick up those vases. You better go down to the well and start drawing some of that living water. You better start getting yourself ready to get the blessing. You see, you can't get the blessing if you have nothing. In the Old Testament, the prophet said to the lady, listen, you go and get every single vessel you can. But why I have to do that? I said, just go get every single vessel you can. Well, I don't have enough. Well, go beg, borrow. You see, God was about to pour out a blessing. She had to get all the vessels. She borrowed from everybody. Then the blessing came. There was something for her to do. She had to bring the containers to get the oil. We have to bring our vessel to church to get the oil. We have to start living a life that is pleasing to God. We can't just be living to ourselves and our own entertainment. Whatsoever he saith unto you, you better do it. I said that Mary had been told that a sword will separate her, would pierce her soul. Once you start doing things for God, you're going to get opposition. You're going to get those days like Job, when the servant comes with the bad news, and before he's finished speaking, the next bad news starts to come. Nevertheless, in all this, God, Bible says that Job never what? Charged God foolishly. He said, naked I came, and naked I'm going to go. The Lord is speaking to someone today. He's been telling you, you want me to fix your life? You want me to do this? You want me to do that? But what are you doing? The rich man came to Jesus. He said, I'm almost perfect. I've done all these things. He said, nevertheless, one thing thou lackest. There was something for him to do. There was something he loved more than God. Maybe it won't be a vessel in that sense, but God is saying that you are holding on to something that you have put before me. You want the wine? You better listen to what the master has to say. You better listen to what he's telling you to do. You want the blessing? It's not just opening your mouth and letting him fill it. You got to be obedient. You got to walk worthy of the calling. There's people on the day going to say, but didn't we heal the sick in your name? Didn't we do this? It says, depart from me. I never knew you. It's more than just going through the motions. It's being obedient to the word. Whatsoever he doeth, saith. Whatsoever he saith, do it. 2 Kings 5:10. We have an example in the Old Testament. You know, we want God to do some big thing for us. We want to go and preach at camp. Have we done the little things? There was this great general, Syrian general, Naaman. And he had a little Jewish maid who told him, you know, you can get healed. But you know, he would never have gotten healed if he didn't do it. He had to listen to her telling him, you got to go somewhere. You got to seek out this man named Elisha. And whatsoever he saith, you better do it. So Naaman believed, and he got on his horse, and he brought a big retinue, and he brought gold and silver. But guess where he went? Not to the prophet. He went to the king. You see, many times we're looking for our blessing from the wrong direction. We're looking to the king. We're looking to the government. We're looking to our job. We're looking to a friend. We're looking to a family member. No, he should have listened to the little girl. She said, it's Elijah. He went to the king and said, I hear you can heal me. The king rent his robe, said, we don't have that kind of power. You must mean the prophet. So finally, he went to the prophet. But here, God wanted to teach a little lesson. You see, when we come to God asking stuff, we can't demand anything. We have to come in humility. The prophet didn't even come out to see him. The prophet didn't even come out to see him. I think it was Pastor Newbel said that he had some people call him up for prayer. And he told him, you pray for yourself. They got mad with him. But sometimes you have to pray for yourself. The Bible said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. We want the wine. We want the blessing. Well, you better get ready to start filling up the jars with water. But Lord, that don't make no sense. That's not what I want. It makes no sense, the struggle and the pain I'm going through right now. I can't understand it. You're filling up the jar with water. If you're being obedient and you're under pressure and the devil's attacking you, all you're doing is you're drawing the water and you're filling up in the jar. The wine will come later. When you bring it back to Jesus and he just says, go start dipping it out. I thought it was water, but now it's turned into wine. See, the thing that was meant to kill you can be your blessing. While you're drawing out that water from the well, it seems so hard. It's so heavy. I don't understand what God is doing with my life. That's not what I asked him for. But whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. If he says, come to Milwaukee, you do it. You may not want to, but you do it. Because as she preached yesterday, there's a blessing in the breaking. In the breaking of our will. In the breaking of our desires. In the breaking of our motives. Whatsoever he saith, we better do it. You see, Naaman thought, well, you know, I did everything. But you know, there's more to it. You have to obey God perfectly. You can't do it in half measures. Yes, he left Syria. Yes, he came to the king. But he didn't want to obey fully because he had a certain amount of pride. Well, God, I'm called to, you know, this place. Not to that place. That's beneath me. I'm supposed to be this kind of a missionary. I don't want to be drawing water. I want to be blessing people with anointing oil. I want it to drip off my fingers. Naaman had to learn a lesson. The prophet sent a message. Didn't even come out to him personally. Just go in and dip in the Jordan 7 times. He didn't want to do that. You mean I came all this way to church and pastor didn't call on me? Doesn't he see I'm a special person, a guest, and he didn't even mention my... I helped at the prayer breakfast, and they didn't even mention my name. Now, let me tell you something. I cannot bless you. It doesn't matter what I say about you. That's not going to bless you. Blessing comes from God. Elevation comes from God. He is the one you need to be worried about if he calls your name. Bible says if you will not be ashamed of him, he won't be ashamed of you. He'll confess your name. Whatsoever he saith, do it. So the prophet comes out and say, go dip 7 times in the Jordan. Oh, no, no, no. I mean, if I wanted to dip myself in a muddy river, I got plenty of rivers back at home. See, we are so disobedient to God's word because it doesn't make sense to us, because it doesn't look like what we want it to be. And he started to go off home in a huff. And he was about to miss his blessing. He was about to miss his deliverance. But then someone, one of his servants said, listen, you came all this way and if he had said something great to you, if he'd called you up to preach a great sermon, you'd have come up here. But all he said was, go dip. The servants, go get the jars and fill them with water. Sometimes God's word to us does not make sense. I can tell you, every time there's going to be a deliverance, there's first something that we have to do. So Naaman finally decided he'd do the right thing. And I can imagine him counting, well, I'm just going to do this. I don't know if this is worth anything. All right, I'm going to do it. Just because I came all the way, I'm going to come to church. I'm going to get up. I'm going to start singing because they're making me. I'm going to lift my hands because pastor said so. All right, 1, 2, 3. But I can imagine on the seventh time he stopped being fake. I can imagine he started jumping up and down for real. I can imagine he started running up and saying, look at me. I am cleansed. I am made whole. Finally, he did what the prophet said. You know, if we would just be obedient to the word of the Lord, it's so simple. It really isn't difficult. It isn't that hard. It isn't really complicated. You don't have to have mathematics to understand what God's word is saying. If you love me, you will what? That is so simple. If you love me, you will do as he saith. You will, if he tells you go and get some water bottles, if he tells you to go and sleep on your side for 300 and something days, you want to go back to the Old Testament ways? We have it so easy. See, you go read about Ezekiel and what the prophet was told to do. All we have to do is come here and open our mouth and say, Jesus, we love you. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, you're my savior. You're my benefactor. That's all we have to do, and some of us can't do that. Unless we get called to some high office, unless our name is put in lights. Unless the prophet comes out and say, here I am going to bless you, heal. All he said was, go wash yourself seven times. You need to go and wash yourself seven times. Go wash yourself seven times. I'm never going back to that church. See how the pastor treat me? He offended me. He told me I need to pray. Isn't what the Bible says that men ought to pray at all times, lifting up? We all ought to pray. If you could stand with me. I just want to point out a couple more things before I close this. Jesus was going to do nothing. He was there. He was going to let them run out of wine. You know that? He was going to let them run out of wine. But faith moves God. Obedience moves God. The two things combined are so powerful. Now, Mary had never seen Jesus do a miracle. But here's something. She knew him. She knew who he was. When you know who it is who is speaking to you, you'll be obedient. Amen. Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you knew who it was speaking to you, you would do it. You would go and do what? Draw the water. The servants, I can imagine, the Bible doesn't say, but they must have been saying, this is crazy. Why are we picking up 120 gallons of water? That's what it came to. 6 times 30. Those things hold 30. What are we doing with a... Is someone going to take a bath? This is crazy. But then one of them said, remember now, his mother said, whatsoever he saith, do it. I'm sure this is our seventh year. And I keep every message that I've ever preached here, going all the way back to 2009. I haven't counted them up, but I know there's a couple hundred. So we have heard, and I'm not the only one who preaches, we have heard enough word, more than enough word, to know what to do, most of us, right? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say to the churches. He's not coming back for disobedience, because Satan has the disobedient. It says the children, the Spirit now worketh in what? Children disobedient. He's coming back for obedient people. There was a chain of obedience that had to be fulfilled. The servants had to obey, even though they couldn't understand what's going on. He's not sending us to the wine merchant. He's sending us to the well. And he's wanting us to fill these jars with water. But again, they remembered what she says. Whatsoever he saith. Nike has a slogan, right? Just do it. Stop bragging and stop, you know, talking smack. Just do it. Show us what you got. The devil does that. He talks smack. We need to show him what we got. Put on the victory symbol. They have the Nike victory symbol is that swoosh. But our victory symbol is much more powerful. It has triumphed over every devil, every demon. Our victory symbol is so much more powerful. It's lasted 2,000 years. Nike's only been around a few decades, and who knows what in the future. But this symbol will never be defeated. You don't need it on your shoes. You need it on your heart. When you have it on your heart, then just go do it for real. I open these altars. It's time for us to do what he said.